The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 15, verses 12 to 21. It is page 213 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. "Brothers," he said, "listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, 'After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things known from long ago.' It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. Amen." There are a variety of ways of classifying religion, depending on one's perspective, depending on what the aim of a particular religion is, and the level of value sought by such religion. Religion may be divided into higher-tier religion and a lower-tier religion. If eternal values are sought through self-denial, it is considered a higher-tier religion. If far from self-denial, only self-enhancement is sought, it is considered to be a lower-tier religion. Christianity is not a religion about achieving one's desires, like visiting a shaman to perform shamanistic rituals. It is a higher-tier religion which denies the self so that the will of Holy God will be fulfilled in this earth through me in the same way that it has been fulfilled in heaven. And depending on the source of salvation, religion may be divided into a religion of internal power and a religion of external power. Now, believing that one can save oneself based on one's power is a religion of internal power. On the contrary, the religion of external power is believing that they do not have ability to save themselves, but will need to rely on an external power. The Christians are people who, realizing that they do not have one shred of ability to save themselves, believe that only Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself as an offering on the cross, is the Savior who can pull them out of sin and death. And so Christianity is a religion of external power. And from the perspective of revelation, religion may be divided into a natural religion and religion of revelation. Natural religion takes the position that men, with their natural inborn instincts or abilities, can wholly understand and know God. It is also known as rational religion. It takes the position that to know God, help from God is completely unnecessary, and it is possible to wholly know God with a man's rationality alone. In comparison, religion of revelation takes the position that God can never be known with men's instincts or abilities or rationality alone. The man can only know God's truth or his mystery and believe in him only by God first revealing himself to humans.
Now,
From such perspective, Christianity is a religion of revelation because God has first revealed himself and taught us about him first, so that we're able to enlist our rationality to know God and to believe in God. Now, revelation is divided into general revelation and special revelation. That men are able to become conscious of God through natural phenomena is called the general revelation. We are able to know the mighty power of God in knowing how vast the universe is, how fearful the thunders and lightning are, and how fearful the destructive power of earthquakes and tsunami are, and in seeing the sun that rises without fail each morning, in seeing the regular changes in seasons when flowers bloom in spring and leaves fall in autumn, we are able to discern the mysterious creative order of God. But through the general revelations, these natural phenomena, we are limited to knowing only the external power of God. On the other hand, a special revelation consists of the words of the Bible that God has given us. We can receive internal revelation of God only through the words of the Bible. In other words, we're able to know the character of God, His intentions, His providence, His will. His will correctly only through the words of the Bible. For example, if I like a certain actor and were to watch all of his performances, I cannot know more than his acting abilities. By watching only his performances, there is no way to know what kind of person he is, his character, what he is like inside, or his thoughts. There is only one way to know such things. It is to meet the actor, have conversations with him, and enter into a relationship with him. Like this, God's internal revelations, which cannot be known just through natural phenomena, can only be known through God's special revelations, which are the words of the Bible. Therefore, the relationship between Christians and words of God have inseparable relationships. Apart from God's words, Christians would not exist to begin with. Only God's words, which is a special revelation of God, can serve as the light that guides us on our life's road. And only the words of God can serve as the life standards by which we can discern all matters correctly. The topic of the First Jerusalem Council was the issue of circumcision of Gentiles who accepted the Lord. And the person presiding over the council was James, the brother of Jesus. After the testimony of Peter, Paul, and Barnabas that proved how God gave grace of salvation freely to Gentiles who had not even been circumcised through them, James, the presider, at last pronounced the final judgment regarding the circumcision of Gentiles. James, first of all, described how God has saved the party of Cornelius, the Gentiles of Caesarea, through Peter, as God intervened. I have said during the last hour that the Greek word, the Greek verb episketonia, which has been translated as God looked after them, is a word which reveals the maternal love of God, God who personally visits his people who are in sadness, despair, or pain, comforting them and embracing them. James, by using such word before pronouncing his judgment, clearly declared that God, Unlike what the Jews, who indulged in the consciousness of a chosen race, mistakenly believed, was not a God who judged Gentiles with paternal sternness, but on the contrary was God of salvation who embraces even Gentiles as his children with maternal love. But James did not issue the final judgment based simply on Peter's testimony about how God saved the Gentile party of Cornelius and his own subjective judgment of such testimony. If James had done so, even if James was the presider of the council which had the highest authority at the time, his decision would have run into serious resistance soon after. There was an overwhelming number of Jews who insisted that Gentiles should be circumcised in accordance with the laws, even if they had accepted the Lord, and the council was being convened precisely because of them. James gave the following basis for his decision, which forbade required circumcision. Decision which forbade the mandatory circumcision of Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, verse 15. The basis of James's decision was the words of God. What he was saying was that Peter's testimony about how God saved the Gentile party of Cornelius is in precise agreement with the words that God had given through the prophets. The Greek verb symphoneo, which has been translated in Korean as in agreement, is a word which combined the word sum, which means together, and phoneo, which means to make sound, and means make sound together. And And what James was saying was that the Peter's testimony and the words of the prophets are in agreement, which means that Peter's testimony about how God saved the Gentile party of Cornelius are not the words of one individual person, Peter, but was also the words of God who had spoken through the prophets. And James, in order to show which of God's words that Peter's testimony agreed with, quoted chapter 9, verses 11 to 12 of Amos. But I should note that there is a slight difference in use of the words between today's text that we will be looking at and Amos chapter 9, verses 11 to 12 in the Old Testament that we have. The reason is that the Old Testament which James quoted, the book of Amos, was not a Hebrew Bible, but a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible known as Septuaginta, or the translation by 70. As you know very well, because of the fall of the Southern Empire in 722 BC and the Northern Empire in 586 BC, a great number of Jews dispersed to the Mediterranean to settle there. This is so-called the Jews of Diaspora. Now, naturally, they came to use a local language of the areas that they settled in as their mother tongue. Now, from 3 BC, after Greek became the common language of the Mediterranean world, the Hebrew Bible became translated to Greek in Alexandria of Egypt for for the Jews of diaspora who didn't know Hebrew, and also Gentiles. It is said that the six people from each of the 12 tribes, 72 persons in total, participated in that translation effort. And so the Greek translation is called the translation by 70, rounding off 72 to 70. That James, who was the official presider of the Jerusalem Council, referred not to the Hebrew Bible, but to Greek Bible, which Gentiles could read as they wished. In making the final judgment about circumcision, which was related to the salvation of the Gentiles, makes us realize how deep James's affection was for the Gentiles. Let us take a look at verses 15 to 16. After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it. That God said, I will rebuild David's fallen tent, did not mean that he would resurrect David's dynasty, which had already disappeared in history. It meant that God will establish the church of the time of the New Testament as the passage to eternal kingdom of God based on the cross of Jesus Christ, who had come to earth through the family line of David. Let's take a look at verse 17. That the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things. God personally declared that the church he would establish on this earth through Jesus Christ was not only for the remnants of the Jews in Israel, but for all Gentiles who believed in the Lord. In other words, the church for all peoples. Verse 18, things known from long ago. The salvation of Gentiles was not something which was suddenly put into effect out of the blue one day. It was a providence of God from long ago. In other words, the providence of God that was becoming fulfilled from way back. Now, didn't God deliver the people of Israel from 400 years of slavery in Egypt? According to chapter 12, verse 38 of Exodus, many other people left Egypt with Israel at the time. That God had not only delivered the people of Israel, but numerous Gentiles as well. Because God is such God, it was only too natural that God would save the Gentiles on this earth as well through the church, which was established on the cross of Jesus Christ. The last part of verses 17 and 18, which the Korean Bible records as, is the word of the Lord, is recorded in Greek original as the Lord says in present tense. In other words, the words of God are not some record of the past, but these are the words that the God speaks in present tense regardless of the time at which it is spoken. Therefore, James, by quoting chapter 9, verses 11 to 12 of Amos, was able to declare that the testimony of Peter, which proved that God saved the Gentile party of Cornelius, agreed with God's words. In short, that God was speaking personally through Peter's testimony, which was being given now.
말씀을 근거로 한 야고보의 그 선언, 야고보의 그 판결 앞에 누가 감히 이의를 제기할 수 있겠습니까?
Who could possibly be objected to James's declaration, James's judgment, which was based on God's words? An important fact here is that between today's text and Amos chapter 9, verses 11 to 12, there is a time difference of about 750 years. In other words, God's words given through Amos chapter 9, verses 11 to 12 was fulfilled in the time of Peter and Paul, only after approximately 750 years. Now, 750 years is truly a long time. But during that long time, God's words definitely did not lose their effects. Although 750 years had passed, God's words, when the God's time came, became fulfilled in the human history, precisely as declared. Why must Christians pursue after God's words and to make God's words their standard in living? It is because it is only through the special revelation of God, the words of God, that we can know God correctly. And because the eternal words of God will never lose their power, regardless of how many years go by, and will become fulfilled without fail when the God's time comes. In the class for mature believers, we have said that faith is believing that the words of God are promissory notes. God promised Abraham that I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Abraham believed God's words and went to Canaan, but God did not give even one pyeong of land on which he could settle there when he went there. Instead, he said he would give Canaan to his descendants who had not even been born. The promise that God gave Abraham was not cash, but promissory note.
하나님께서 아브라함에게 아들을 주시겠다고 하신 약속은
The promise of God about giving Abraham a son was a promissory note, which took 25 years to be fulfilled.
땅에서 큰 민족을 이루겠다고 하신 약속은
And God's promise that Abraham's descendants will form a great nation was a promissory note which took several hundred years for his descendants to form a great nation in Canaan through their slavery in Egypt and wandering through the desert. Entering the land of Canaan, the promised land of God after Exodus and wandering around the desert was a promissory note which took 40 years to become fulfilled. It was the time of Malachi when God last promised sending a Messiah on this earth through the prophets in the Old Testament. It was and 400 years later from that time, Jesus, the Messiah, came. It was a promissory note that took 400 years to be fulfilled. Now, God promised Paul that he would use him as his instrument on his way to Damascus. But it was a promissory note that took 16 years of waiting before Paul finally began his work in Antioch Church. and the words of God given through Prophet Amos, which was fulfilled in the time of today's text, was a promising note which had a clearance period of 750 years. We who believe in God ask God to give us cash always. But what God gives us is always promising notes and not cash. What would be the reason for this? It is because cash is an object of a simple trade, while promising notes are always conditioned on trust. When a person comes with cash, a merchant always sells goods that the buyer wants. This is a simple trade. To a person who wants to buy a good with cash, there is no merchant who would refuse to sell anything saying that your character is not good enough or you're somebody I can't trust. But if someone were to enter into a trade with a promissory note, it becomes an entirely different problem. Promissory notes can only be exchanged when there is already a relationship based on trust. A promissory note which is not accompanied by trust is not a security that can be exchanged, but just a useless piece of paper. Here is the reason that God always gives us a promissory note and not cash. What God wants from us is not a simple trade, but a relationship of deep trust. On the other hand, the reason that we always demand cash from God is because, in contrast to God, we always just want a simple trade with Him. Our prayers each time is in the form of, if you do this for me, if you do this for me, I will do this. In other words, what we're saying is that we will trade with God only when we need to. There is no way to establish a trusting relationship with God with that type of transaction. And neither can our relationship with God deepen that way. And so God, who loves us, does not give us cash which will end up ruining us, but always give us promising notes so that a lasting, trusting relationship with us can be established. If we do not understand this fact, while we say we believe in God, we will misunderstand God because we're in a hurry, and we will twist our relationship with God. But to a person who believes that all of the words of God, the Bible, are bundles of promissory notes, the entire words of the Bible become promissory notes issued for his or her benefit. The securities of this world, no matter how many there are, could become bad. And one could ruin one's life because of it, but God's promissory notes never become bad. God's promissory notes have eternity as expiration date. A person who understands this fact will not only trust and follow God's words for himself or herself, but will leave behind the entirety of these bundles of promissory notes as the greatest inheritance for his or her descendants. These securities of God will never ruin the lives of the descendants, no matter how many there are, but rather will establish them upright and will surely be made good in the lives of his descendants each time the time for their performance which God has set arrives. God commanded Prophet Isaiah to cry out. Prophet Isaiah asked God what exactly he should cry out. God said the following to Prophet Isaiah in response in chapter 40 of Isaiah. All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Beloved brothers and sisters, let us not be fooled. Fine things are false, and beautiful things also are in vain. The things of this world, no matter how great they may look, will change and decline without fail. Only thing that will not change and become fulfilled in this world where everything changes is the words of God. The words of God are eternal promising notes that became fulfilled in the thousands of years of human history, are being fulfilled now and will continue to be fulfilled in the future. How amazing is the grace that God would give us these eternal bundles of promising notes for free. Christianity is a higher tier religion in which we deny ourselves before the truth of God. Let us deny before God every day the foolishness on our part which would only transact with God when we need Him. Christianity is a religion of external power in which we believe that only Jesus Christ on the cross is our Savior. Let us no longer fall into the silliness of mistaking that my possessions or power can save me by any chance. Pushing aside Jesus Christ, the words of God that came to earth having put on flesh. Christianity is a religion of revelation and the words of God, which are the special revelations, all of it, are the bundles of promissory notes of God issued for us. The fitting of Christians who inherited such bundles of promissory notes, let us deepen our relationship of trust with God each day. It is then that we will be able to become richest persons like James and Peter and Paul and Barnabas, transcending time and space. Because God's words will not only become fulfilled while we are living, but even after we leave this world, will become true continuously in eternity without fail. Let us pray. There are so many cases where men, under the pretext of love, give everything that their children want and end up ruining them. The persons who ruin a child are not someone outside the family, but are always the parents of the child. And so in most cases, human love of a child ends with irresponsible abandonment. But God, no matter how we plead, does not give us cash that we want, but always gives us promissory notes. Because if He were to give us cash as we wish, We will end up transacting with God only when we need Him. He gives us promise, you know, to tie us to eternal relationship of faith forever. We thank you that you love us and love us with such responsible love. We thank you that although we have no merit, you have given us such huge bundle of promise you know for free in Jesus Christ. Help us not to forget that your promise you know will, not only while we're living, but even after we leave this world, surely be made good in eternity. By making your words the standards in living our lives, allow us to become wise persons who make relationship with you ever deeper each day. And so, may all of us, like James and Peter and Paul and Barnabas in today's text, become God's children who are forever rich in Jesus Christ, transcending time and space. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.